We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Welcome to an epic TFL Talking Trucks podcast.
This is more exciting than usual because in this podcast, we're actually in person with all 4 half-ton trucks from Toyota, Ford, Ram, and GMC.
Exactly. This is the best-selling segment, half-ton full-size trucks. We have all of them. This is part of our 2026 TFL Trucks Truck of the Year competition. So what we want to do in this podcast is actually show you every truck. This represents all of them, right? And also pick our favorite, right? Based on the utility and some of the features.
Which is going to be tough to do because these trucks are similar in some ways, but also very different in how they're optioned. So some of them are very premium, some of them are a little bit more basic. And in today's podcast, especially if you're watching it in video form, we're going to walk through all the features on this. We'll do our best to describe everything for those who are listening. But let's start off with the GMC Sierra. And the way that we're going to do things is we're going to walk around the exterior, talk about utility.
Yes.
Then we'll go into the interior, talk a little bit about technology, and we'll do that for each truck, starting with the Sierra.
And in the end, we'll try to pick our favorite, but like you said, it's going to be difficult to do.
Yeah.
And also, we're doing a lot more testing with these trucks. So part of TFL Trucks Truck of the Year is a Gauntlet World's Toughest Towing Test.
It has to be.
Also, Denver 100 MPG Loop.
Fuel economy is important.
Heck yeah. And also performance testing. I'm using air quotes, performance testing, which is also a drag race.
Quarter mile, which is arguably less important to a lot of people, but it is fun.
And this is coming very soon. So starting next week, if you're listening to this kind of in real time, when this episode launches, in real time, in about, 6 to 7 days from now, you will see the iGauntlet, followed by the MPG Loop, followed by drag racing, and then we'll announce Truck of the Year.
And it's with these exact 4 trucks.
Exactly.
The first truck that we're looking at is a GMC Sierra, the particular one that they sent us, because basically you did the heavy lifting to talk to all the manufacturers and get them to send us trucks.
Yes.
And they can only send us picking from what they have and what they have available. The GMC Sierra they sent us is top of the food chain in their lineup.
Yeah, this is the Denali Ultimate. So the Denali name is not new, right? It's been around for over 2 decades.
Long time.
But the Ultimate was kind of a package a couple of years back, but now it's kind of almost its own trim, and it's really taking kind of their luxury pickup truck game to the next level. And what this truck is equipped with is a 6.2 liter V8, but they have a wide range of engine options for their GM trucks.
They do, including the 3 liter Duramax, which is an awesome option.
Let's pop the hood really quick.
Yeah,
we'll do the same thing on every truck.
We'll go ahead and look under the hood. Now, as most people who have been following the news know, there are recalls out there on 6.2s.
And actually, every manufacturer, too.
Yeah, actually, it's not the only engine that we're talking about today that has a recall out for it. But when they're functioning the way that they're supposed to, this is kind of a powerhouse of an engine. It's a little old school. It's naturally aspirated. But 420 horsepower, 460 pound-feet of torque, it still feels great to
exactly.
this day.
And this GMC Sierra 1500 also kind of represents this Chevy Silverado 1500. I mean, they're very, very closely related, specifically on their mechanicals, but they're a little bit more separate than they ever have been in terms of style and in terms of features and also pricing. We'll go over about pricing as well, specific to each truck. But dude, before this week of testing, I was thinking this engine is a little bit old, because it's been around for like 5 or 6 or more years in its current iteration. But after driving it for a couple days, it sounds great, it feels good. I mean, this powertrain is nice.
And it performs pretty well. We don't want to spoil too much of the testing that we did. But you might think that this maybe struggled the most on MPG. Fun fact, it actually didn't.
It did not.
This was not the worst of the trucks on fuel economy.
Yeah.
A little surprisingly. Part of that might be because not only does this have a 10-speed, most of these trucks have a 10-speed, but the rear end ratio on this is a 323. So this is the most fuel economy minded axle ratio of any of these trucks.
Exactly, precisely. And obviously as we move along from Ram and then to Ford and Toyota Tundra, we'll talk about those specific differences. But just really quickly, the engine lineup in the GM 1500. So it all starts with a 2.7 liter Turbo Max, is what they call it, which is a turbocharged four cylinder. And then it moves up also, there's also a 5.3 V8 still with a 10 speed. And there's, like you said, the 3 liter Duramax, which is kind of their efficiency game. And also that engine, the 3 liter Duramax, won the half ton diesel battle because it's the only diesel available now.
Exactly, so that makes it a unique option. And for the majority of the testing that we did in this Truck of the Year competition, I actually think that the 3 liter Duramax would have done really well. Not to say again that this 6.2 performed poorly, but I think in a lot of our testing, the 3 liter Duramax actually would have done better.
Yeah, it could have been the king of MPG pretty much, because we do it on the highway as a highway test. And it also could have done really well on the towing test. It's not maybe the quickest truck of them all.
No.
But it's very efficient and very good.
Yeah, and very torquey.
Yes.
So.
All right, so let's keep moving around and talk about a little bit more of a style and also payload and towing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say my personal feeling. I think this is the best looking truck of the four. From the outside.
Okay.
I really like the look of it.
Yeah. What do you think about the chromed recovery hooks, tow hooks?
Well, I like the fact that this GMC Sierra actually gives you some recovery points on the front end.
Yes.
Because not all of these do.
Yes.
And this truck is an interesting combination of some chrome, some bright work. The grille, however, is blacked out. It's pretty dark.
It's dark, yes.
But there's a lot of contrast, which I kind of like. There's some chrome on the mirrors, around the windows, on the side steps. So they mixed it up a little bit. Not everything is blacked out and not everything is chrome. It gives it a modern look because it's not all chrome.
You know what I would kind of, an analogy I might use is actually kind of like kind of a lean bodybuilder wearing a tuxedo.
I like it.
Do you see that?
Yeah, I could see the muscle.
Maybe like if you put on a tuxedo right
now. Well,
you know, like
I appreciate that.
Like,
but
you know, a little bit muscular, but also very, very like quite well-dressed.
Yeah, this is definitely a well-dressed truck through and through. It looks really sharp. The color of this particular truck is kind of a steely blue.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice color. It's the only truck here that isn't gray or
whitish.
Yeah, so it stands out a little bit because of that. It's not an in-your-face color at all. And then this truck, being a Denali Ultimate and being a little more on the luxurious side, has a 22-inch wheel.
Yeah.
Which is a little bigger than maybe we would spec if we were picking out a truck, but it makes sense for this trim.
Yeah, by the way, when I really asked manufacturers to submit trucks for some of our testing, I kind of asked kind of for middle of the road, sort of more technology and towing minded trucks.
Yeah.
But of course, like you said, I mean, there's limitations on what pickup trucks are available. So if I was specking out a truck like the Sierra, I'll probably choose like a 20 or maybe even an 18-inch wheel.
Yeah.
You know, get more tire under it, actually.
I agree.
Yeah.
It makes sense having a bigger wheel on this trim because it is that ultra luxury spec. This is definitely the highest end truck and the most expensive of any of the four here, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
At the rear, we've got, of course, a multi-pro tailgate. So that's nothing particularly new. This one does have the kicker speaker system built into it.
Inside of it. So this is basically fully loaded with every feature and every option.
Yeah. And, you know, if you were tailgating, I'm sure it would be fun to have the speakers back here. It does make me wonder about tailgates get beat up a lot.
Yeah.
I would imagine that this is a pretty expensive piece to replace.
Yeah, once again, think about the tuxedo, okay?
I'm thinking
like,
about it.
Like you're going to a gala and you want to, you know, tailgate with a little bit of music.
You take your truck to a lot of galas, Andre?
No.
Not recently, anyway.
No.
And Andre, so, you've got your ladder.
Yes. So how many podcasts do you know that actually use props like ladders in them?
You know,
not many.
Not that many, yeah.
So this ladder is here because we're filming something else and we needed a high vantage point for that. But I figured this would be an excellent kind of a size comparison, right?
Sure.
Because this bed is a, this is a short bed. I'm using air quotes again because there's a short bed and then there's a longer bed option on all of these trucks. But this is 5'8", which is actually a little bit more than some other trucks. So I'm going to see, I want to see if this ladder fits in the other trucks as well.
Yeah, because it basically just fits in this bed. Something I love in the bed of the GMC, and this is true of some Chevy products as well, is all of the tie downs. Not only several on the side, so there's three in the front corner of each side of the bed, three in the rear corner of each side of the bed, but there's also two towards the center of the bed, right up against the bulkhead, which is all right really here. Nice.
Yeah, I figured you would point this out because you and Alex often carry motorcycles, and this is great, especially these cutouts in the front of the bed, right?
Yeah, and those center tie-downs especially, because if you're putting two motorcycles in the bed of a truck, a lot of the time you'll have to run a strap through maybe the wheel or the suspension of the other bike to get to the tie-downs that are all the way on the side. Having those tie-downs in the center is really convenient for that specifically. Well, the more tie-downs, the better, right? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. And this bed, the interior of this bed is lined not in steel like many other GM 1500s, but because it's a little bit of a fancier truck, this is kind of a carbon composite bed, which actually, you know what? I thought it might be slippery because it's kind of cold right now, but it's not slippery at all.
No, it's not a bad material for the most part. One complaint or critique maybe I have heard from a couple people is trying to put a tonneau cover or a topper on the truck.
Oh.
The bed rail is not...
Oh, can you show that with your fingers here?
Yeah, the bed rail is not typical, so you can't very easily get a clamp...
Underneath it.
...on here. I think some companies have figured out solutions for still putting some of those accessories on here, but this will maybe limit the amount that you can shop for.
Yeah.
So it's worth consideration.
Yeah, so... Absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out because I kind of forgot that element of this particular bed. I wish they would correct it, you know, in the future sometime.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem necessary for them to have this angle on here that keeps you from easily putting clamps on it. Something else impressive about this truck, though, is even though it is top end, it's very luxurious, it's got all the features, it's still got 1,500 pounds of payload.
Yeah, just under that, what, like 1494 something?
I think.
Yeah. So I was surprised when I saw that because I thought after you load up the four-wheel drive system and all the V8 engine
and the leather.
And the leather,
and
we'll
more
show
leather.
You that we'll show you that in a second, that the payload would suffer and go down to like 1,000 pounds, but it didn't, which is pretty cool.
It's still pretty good.
We should talk about towing capacity just really quick. Actually, can you help me with this ladder?
Sure.
I want to move it to the ram.
Yeah. Most of the trucks that are here sit right around 11,000 pounds
of towing.
And obviously it's going to depend on how you configure each truck.
Yes. So it has wheels, this ladder. So we'll...
Oh, fancy. You showing off, Andre?
Okay,
so we'll talk about the fitment.
Yes, later.
The ram a little later. But what's the towing figure on the GMC?
Well, it depends on the trim, right? So that's, I think, why you and I still have jobs, is because you cannot assume that 11,000 or 13,000 pound number applies to every trim level.
Yeah.
You just can't.
That's true.
So when you select the Denali Ultimate, and I think it's actually limited by the tire. So the tire profile and the wheel profile, this truck is rated at about 9,000 or 9,200 pounds of towing.
Yeah, so of the four that we're talking about, this is the lowest towing rating because, like I mentioned, most of the other trucks are sitting right around 11.
Yeah, and that's mostly because of this trim,
right?
Because GM is actually, if you selected the high towing package with towing mirrors and a different axle ratio, that would be about 13,000, right?
Yeah.
So you could select this truck in a different configuration.
Yeah, and that would make it significantly more towing capable.
Yes.
At least as far as how they rate it. Do you want to go ahead and jump into the inside?
We should. Because this is going to be quite nice.
It's arguably...
Welcome.
Arguably the highlight of this truck is the way that this interior is laid out. Because not every truck and even not every car company gets luxury totally right.
Yeah.
This truck does. Before I jump in this seat,
yes.
It's worth checking out the material, the textures, the piping, the stitching. They've even got a little bit of a topographical map built into the leather. It's got a badge at the top of the seat that says Ultimate. It's two-tone, so it's not only this beautiful baseball glove dark brown leather, but on the backs of the seats, it's black, so there's some contrast there as well. These seats are really pretty.
So this is the only truck in the class that does not have a full panoramic sunroof option. And I think it's partially because this T1 generation of the pickup truck for GM came out, right before, 2019 to 2020 timeframe, which was before the other trucks were redesigned, a lot of them. So,
yeah.
So, and I don't know if that was fashionable back then, but this has a regular sunroof.
And I would argue that's one of the things that makes it feel maybe a little less luxurious, maybe not quite as modern.
Or, yeah, exactly.
I do like your start-stop button, though.
Which is huge.
It's huge. It's got at least kind of a metallic appearance to it.
Yes.
And we've still got physical switches for the climate controls, which I like. That shows that they didn't cheap out on that. Same thing, your headlight switch on this truck is actually a physical dial rather than being built into the screen like
exactly.
The Chevy Colorado was.
Exactly. So regular switches for four-wheel drive and drive modes and also headlamps. So if you're used to that from before, this truck has it.
Yeah, and then the layout of the interior is all pretty good for the most part. We've got a relatively old-school console-mounted shifter, which we like. The trailer brake controller is in kind of an interesting spot, though. It's not hard to find, but it's ergonomically maybe a little bit awkward because it's right in front of the center console.
Yeah, but I think since you're resting your arm kind of here anyways on the center console, I could actually get used to this because your hand is kind of resting in this area anyways.
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge problem or anything.
Exactly. So
it's a little different.
So I want to make one comment about CarPlay and kind of the connectivity technology. So I've driven all these trucks recently this week, and there is two places by my house where the wireless connectivity with the CarPlay drops out.
Interesting.
And they're very repeatable. It drops out at the same places every single time. And it happens in the Ford and the GM. Ford worse than GM. And I was thinking, am I losing my mind? Like, what is going on? Why is it dropping out? And I found out that there is a fire station in both locations where it drops out. So I'm wondering if some of these systems are reacting to some of the communication equipment in the fire stations, and that's why they drop out, which is kind of weird.
That is weird. It's interesting that the tech is not infallible.
Yes.
But this truck does something on the tech front that none of the others do, which is Super Cruise that works with a trailer hooked up, and that is impressive.
Yeah, so I would still, so you can kind of see the eye monitor here on the center steering column right there, and then there's a light on the steering wheel which kind of communicates to the driver when the system is engaged.
Yeah, you get a little green bar when it's active.
There's also like a blue bar when it's active, but it wants you to take over, and then there's also a red light that flashes or stays on when it just says, you got to take over now.
Yeah.
So there's all those elements. I just drove here on I-25 this morning. There's some construction there. And these systems, even though this is one of the best,
yeah,
I agree with you, is how it performs, it still didn't do such a great job in the construction areas.
Once again, they're definitely not perfect.
Yes.
But even if you're the kind of person that is wary of technology like that, it's worth, if you get the opportunity, testing it out in a vehicle like this, because like you said, Super Cruise especially is very refined and very capable. Enough so that even when we have a trailer linked up, for the most part, I'm not worried about engaging it with a trailer hooked up. I would be fine with that. If you're going through a construction zone, I would say
it's
worth taking
over. Yeah, that's understandable. But Super Cruise has existed for, what, 5 or 6 or 7 years, right? And they've improved it over time. But so I'm expecting it to get better and better every single year. But it seems like it's plateaued, right?
Yeah.
So these technologies currently, at least currently, have plateaued, and I want them to continue to get better. And I know they're working on it.
Yeah, but it plateaued at a relatively high level, so it still doesn't feel like it's behind.
Yes.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I want to do one thing because I kind of want to sit behind myself here. Do you want to stay here? I want to show the space.
Sure.
And also talk about the power options, a way to plug in, for example, to charge.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, our devices.
While Andre's moving, I'll mention too, the screens on this truck are high resolution. They're nice. They're pretty easy to navigate. I think they've done a good job with the technology on that front in this truck. So in general, it's pretty good. But they didn't integrate too much stuff into the screens. Now, Andre, how's the back seat?
Roomy. It's nice. I'm sitting behind myself comfortably. You know, the seat bottoms, even in the front and the back, are a little bit hard for my... I think we have walkie-talkies in the center console.
Oh, no. I'm going to turn that off.
The seat bottoms are a little bit hard, especially for a truck. Do you have a Monroney over there? What is it? It's in the, like, $86,000 range, isn't it?
Yeah, it's $87,400. So it's not
fully
an expensive truck.
Yes.
I agree, the seats are a little stiff, and that's something that we've talked about with GM trucks for a long time.
Yes.
The materials in this one are really good, but it's not the most plush seat. But even in the back seat, I'm noticing on your door card, not only is the leather really good, but there's wood back there. There's some fantastic textured wood on the dash. That's got that topographical map design as well.
Yeah.
So materials are awesome, but the seat comfort, I agree, it could be a little bit more plush.
Now, finally, before we move on to the Ram lineup of 1500s, power selections as far as charging. So back here, we have USB Type-A and USB-C chargers, ports, but no 120-volt outlets in the back. Isn't there one in the console?
Yeah, so inside the console, you'll find a traditional style plug like what you would find in your home. There's a USB-A and a USB-C. And then further forward, there's another USB-A and another USB-C up by the shifter. So there are a decent number of places you could plug in.
But let's see how it compares, right, to some of the other trucks. Because if I was back here and if I was watching a movie on my iPad or my laptop, I would want to have, I don't want to bother you up there to plug myself in. I would want to, you know, to plug something back here.
Yeah, which is fair.
So, all right, let's jump into, or actually go outside to the Ram.
Let's give it a look. Now, first things first, from the exterior of this Ram is not the most in-your-face spec.
No.
It's gray. It's got kind of a cool-looking polished wheel.
But it's got body color, bumper, and grille, and a 20-inch wheel. And this is a big horn. So this is a stark trim level difference.
Yeah.
And of course, there's going to be a price, a big price difference. So if we were doing a luxury truck comparison, we actually, Nathan and I did this about a year and a half ago in Michigan. This would probably be like a limited or a limited Longhorn with a high output Hurricane. It would have air suspension and it would have panoramic roofs and everything like that. This is not that.
This is a Bighorn.
Yes.
So it's much lower on the totem pole as far as trims go. Do you want to pop the hood?
Yeah, let's take a look at the engines.
So this is one of the newer powertrains in the mix and available in any of these trucks. It's the 3-liter Hurricane, so it's a twin turbo straight six. This one, like you said, is a standard output. It's not the high output that you can get. So 420 horsepower, 469 pound-feet of torque, a little bit more than the GMC.
Exactly, and 8-speed automatic. You mentioned the transmissions. Basically, all the other trucks have 10 speeds, but you and I went to Germany to a ZF technology day. We talked to some of their engineers, and ZF transmissions are some of the best in the world.
They've been making them for a long time.
Yeah.
We asked why 8 and why not 10, and they said they considered doing 10 speeds because it's possible,
yeah,
and they could do it, but they decided that 8 seemed like the Goldilocks zone.
Well, there's also like a cost consideration and also complexity, right?
Sure.
So I think ZF engineers weighed all those options. And
so at least that would be their reasoning as to why they claimed,
yeah,
they chose to go with 8 speeds instead of 10.
But you would have to, this is why we do real world truck testing, right?
Yeah.
Because we can, this podcast is just kind of to introduce the trucks, talk about some of the features, but really where this will matter is about efficiency, towing, and also acceleration, right?
Now this engine, on some of those fronts, because we've tested it quite a bit at this point, both in standard output and high output form, even the standard output, this engine has a lot of power and a lot of torque. It's very smooth and very quiet. So it doesn't necessarily have a lot of personality, but it works.
Yeah, actually yesterday we were idling these trucks, you know, waiting for something in the parking lot, and I was sitting in the driver's seat and I actually forgot the engine was running.
Yeah, it's that quiet.
It's that quiet. There's no vibration at all. You know, sometimes you could feel that V8, you know, still sitting there and working. This engine is super smooth. It's just butter.
By far the smoothest engine of any of the trucks that we're looking at right now. This might be, what do you think? Is this the smoothest engine that you can get in any half ton? I would say so.
Yeah, because that diesel we talked about is also a straight six, but you can hear it a little bit more, that 3-liter diesel in the GM.
It's a little more coarse.
This, I mean, you can argue you want more sound in a truck. Yes,
yeah,
we've argued that before. But as far as smoothness, I think this is it.
Yeah, so this Hurricane is an impressive engine. This Ram has the most aggressive axle ratio of any of the trucks here. This is a 392.
Yes, partially because it's a towing package,
yeah,
which is off, or you can see it here with tow mirrors, which are humongous.
Yeah.
And it's also good and bad. So sorry about, we hit a couple of bugs on the way here, so I really apologize.
But the people listening to the podcast won't mind at all.
No, they won't care. So this mirror is amazing if you're looking behind you.
Yeah.
But in front of you, this post is a little bit large. So sometimes it takes away some of the forward visibility when you're sitting in the truck.
That's true. I do have to wonder if the actual post that mounts the mirror to the side of the door needs to be this thick.
You know partially why, I think? I mean, I wasn't part of the engineering team that designed this.
Because of the camera?
Well, not just because of the camera, but also so there's no vibration.
Sure.
You know what happens like on a washboard road?
Yeah.
Things start to isolate and everything, you know, starts to vibrate. I think they kind of have to do this probably because to make it stable and make it very strong.
But this is the only truck of the four that came to us optioned with a towing specific mirror. So this mirror is awesome when we're hooked up to a trailer. We didn't tow with these trucks any box trailers, but if we had, this would have made a world of difference.
Yes.
And even if the rest of these...
Yeah, you can see the mirror right there.
Yeah, it's a huge surface. Even if the rest of these trucks were specced with towing mirrors, this is still one of the better, one of our preferred towing mirrors.
I would agree, because the controls of this mirror is really easy. I can quickly show you. They've redesigned it in 2025. All of the functions are on the same switch rather than separating those functions on different switches. a very easy mirror and one of the best as far as for towing purposes.
Yeah.
I also want to mention the engine options. Like we mentioned, the high output Hurricane with 540 horsepower.
Yeah, which is tons.
But there's also, they brought back the Hemi.
True, so you can get a 5.7 Hemi with the e-torque system.
Exactly. And so they brought that back.
Coming up soon, there's going to be a range extended EV version, which is going to be really interesting to test because that's not something at the moment that exists in any of these other trucks.
Exactly. So this is basically a 5.5 footer, sometimes also referred to as a 5.7, so a little bit more. Make sure this ladder is all the way in.
It is noticeably tighter on our ladder than the GMC. I'm not sure. No, it's not going to close.
It's not closing.
So the GMC closed with a little bit of room to spare.
Yeah.
The Ram's short bed doesn't quite fit your little giant ladder.
it is called, by the way, this is not sponsored. You know, this is sponsored by you guys, our Patreon supporters and listeners and viewers. This podcast is sponsored by you guys.
Not by Little Giant.
Not by Little Giant. But you know what? I think GM is unique in this perspective because their wheelbase on their crew cabs is a couple of inches longer than the rest of the trucks.
Which is also nice for stability when you're pulling a trailer. So there's other perks to that longer wheelbase. This Ram is a little bit more basic, like we said. So this one doesn't have a bed liner. It's just a painted steel bed. And look at the difference in tie downs.
Yeah.
This truck just has one tie down in each corner.
So, and this bed is not bed lined. Not that, you know, we're not going to take away from it because the price is lower too.
Yeah, this is the least expensive of any of the trucks that we're looking at.
Yeah, it also doesn't have, this model has plugs instead of lights. But the tie down point is valid because without the rails that you could add along the side of the bed, the tie down options are not many.
And even with the rails, I still think GM does the best job of giving you lots of tie down points from the factory.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in the bed we just saw. Also, this tailgate is not fancy. Ram does offer a barn style option, which splits about 40-60. On their tailgate. And also, they don't have sometimes they have an optional step that kind of comes down here. So you could put your foot up here. This one is not equipped with it. And then you can easily jump into the bed.
Yeah, so that's something that you can pretty inexpensively add on to the truck if you want to have it. Should we check out the interior?
No, wait, I'm just checking on the payload.
Oh, sure.
1757.
Yeah, so this truck has the highest payload of all four.
Yes, way you see them here.
It's a pretty good number. And then what's the tow rating?
The tow rating is just over like 11,000 pounds.
Yeah.
We have our notes inside the truck as well. So if you want to see the hitch. By the way, this is also equipped, look, for a basic truck, this has a camera connection inside the bumper.
Yeah, so if you have a newer trailer that has a camera system integrated into it, you can plug it into the Ram and check that out on your screen, which is nice, especially if you're carrying around horses or something like that. You could be checking on how they're doing as you're going down the road. That's all pretty cool.
So you were helping hook up trailers to these trucks.
Yeah.
Do you remember which was the easiest chain? Like, do you remember which you struggled with or not struggled with?
You know, it's a good question. When we were working on it, we were working pretty quickly. The Ram, I'm not...
It's a little bit hidden.
I'm not going to give it to the Ram because it's also got this funky shape that makes it a little bit more challenging at times to get hooks in there. The upside is that you've got two holes, so you could put your chains through one and put... Maybe the emergency brake.
Can we look at the GMC really quick?
Another. The GMC might have them beat because look at how accessible these points are on each side of the hitch. You don't have to reach way underneath the truck to get to those.
Yeah.
And then you've even got some more openings a little further back that you can also use to your advantage. So you got a lot of options on the GMC there.
And I know we'll see Ford and Toyota really soon, but I think those are kind of also a little bit more hidden. Do you want to move the ladder before we move?
Sure, I'll open.
Move forward.
Tailgate on the Ford. The sounds of moving a ladder is what everyone.
Yeah, this is very thrilling.
Tunes into the podcast for.
Like I said, you won't get this in many other podcasts.
No, that's true.
This is very unique.
Now, we've got to check out the interior on the Ram, keeping in mind once again that of all the trucks, this one is the most affordable. So this interior is not going to have all of the options that you can get in the Ram. It's not going to have all the same options that the other trucks we're looking at today have.
Yep.
But it's still a truck that gives you quite a few features. We've got all the essential things that we need. The screen configuration on the Ram is a little bit more vertical, so it's kind of tall and narrow. I actually really like Uconnect as a program. Mm-hmm. I think that these screens are very easy to navigate. Once again, we still have physical controls for our climate on the sides of the screen here, which is nice.
We're just firing up the engine.
Yeah. And trailer brake controller, very accessible, very visible. It's mounted on the dash where you kind of expect.
Yeah.
But the drive selector is not everybody's favorite.
It's a knob. So there's different solutions, obviously. Sometimes it's a center console, like the GMC, we saw that. You can have a knob or you can have a column shift. So this may not be my favorite because it's also next to, like for example, a volume knob, right?
So maybe you go to turn the volume down and instead just slam her into park.
I haven't done that before.
No, I haven't either. But it's pretty easy to not do.
It could be possible for somebody to do.
Realistically, that drive selector is really not the end of the world.
No.
It's not my favorite of all the drive selectors here. That one would be my least favorite of them. But it's not a make or break kind of thing for me in particular.
Yeah, so like we were saying, this is a Bighorn. So, but it does have a couple of optional packages, and we do have wireless charging. We do have USB A and C, and also an auxiliary port.
Yeah, and then we've got our bigger outlet at the bottom. It's a little hidden.
Oh, I don't know if you could see it. Yes, it's down
here. But it's there.
Yeah, and so we'll check out the back and see that in a second as well.
So in that way, it's pretty similar to the GMC because the GMC had the same number of USBs and also had a wireless charger.
In the console somewhere.
In the console.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, these seats are, like you said, are cloth. They're not fancy leather or anything like that. And also, there's not a lot of color options, although there is a little bit of silver and a little bit of different materials on the dashboard.
Yeah, there's a few textures and badges and things. It's not completely blank, but it is a pretty dark interior. It definitely does not strike you as a luxury interior. Mm-hmm. Although your steering wheel's not bad.
Yeah, actually it's wrapped.
Yeah.
And now every Ram comes with an adaptive cruise control feature. There's a button right there. But only the fancier Ram trucks, 1500s, are coming with that hands-free system. But what I like about the Ram system, it's GM's hands-free system may be a little bit more superior as far as towing and also kind of how it positions itself on the highway. What Ram does, they have a capacitive touch in the steering wheel. So you don't have to go like this to remind the truck you're still here. You could just put your hands on it and then the truck knows you're engaged with it.
Which is a nice way of going about it. And as well, because this is not a luxury model truck, we've got no sunroof at all in this particular model.
Yeah, here, let me get in the back seat while you open the price sheet.
Yeah, so this Ram comes in at about $64,400. So it's by far the cheapest of the trucks that's here. It's, what, more than $20,000 MSRP less than the GMC we were just looking at. So it's a significant difference.
But yeah, don't let that get in the way, right?
Yeah, because you can option any of these trucks to be within dollars of each other.
I've seen a Ram 1500 Limited Longhorn, almost at $90,000.
Yeah, I mean, well, and TRXs, right? They get pricey.
And RHOs, you know, go up into that price range too. You know what? I think there's a little bit more space here.
Yeah, you look
funny
like
enough,
you've got a ton of space.
Yeah. I could cross my legs, I could go cross country. And look, there's a plug here, a regular wall outlet, even back here. So I appreciate this a little bit more than what I saw on the GMC.
So even as nice as the materials in the GMC were and as good as it looks, in some ways, this more basic truck is even more comfortable.
I would say so. So it has a little bit more power options and the seat bottom you know, maybe not the cushiest of them all, but
it's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, I could go on a very long trip back here. And also, we do have speakers up here as well in the ceiling.
Yeah. So points to the Ram for a basic interior. It's very functional, which we appreciate.
Yeah. And like we said, I think we mentioned already, just over 11,000 pounds of towing. And so actually, if you look at maximum towing, GM has a beat because GM can be at over 13,000. Although, Case, I would never recommend towing 13,000 pounds with one of these trucks.
No, and it's something that we avoid, especially because we live up in the mountains. We've got a lot of steep grades, and these trucks, when you start getting around 10,000 pounds, they begin to struggle a little bit. So I'm with you right there. If we were pulling a trailer above 10,000 pounds, where we live, especially, I would prefer to be in an HD.
Yeah, especially a diesel heavy-duty pickup.
Yeah, the exhaust brake in the mountains.
Exhaust brake, yes.
There's no replacing it.
Let's jump into the other, let's go see the Ford.
Yeah, so we'll start, as per usual, on the exterior. This Ford is kind of a light gray, and it's a little bit of an old school way that it's spec'd because we've got chrome wheels and chrome bumpers here. This is the only truck that we're looking at today that's got chrome bumpers.
Yeah, well, the GM had a tiny chrome insert, but indeed, I would say this is a little bit more old-fashioned styling.
Yeah, this is
but not bad.
It's a dad truck.
Well, I'm a dad.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of this truck?
I'm not a chrome guy, though.
Fair enough. There is some black on it.
Yeah.
Around the grille and around the headlights, that's blacked out. And I really like the amber running lights and turn signals on Ford F-150s these days. They look really good. So it's not a bad looking truck.
And this is an XLT. So this is, you know, it starts at the XL. So the XLT is kind of the next step up in the trim walk. Very similar to Bighorn. So that trim for trim. But what Ford has done in the recent years, and I've been noticing it as we're looking at configurators, right? Is they've been adding in more optional packages and features into their XLTs, making them actually really pricey and luxurious as well.
Yeah, and they've been adding to the destination price like we've talked about in the past as well.
Yes, and this is a hybrid. This is a Power Boost hybrid. Let's look at the engine. Let's pop the hood like we've done.
Yeah, it's one of the highlights of this truck because it being a hybrid, it's got an impressive 430 horsepower and 570 pound-feet of torque.
Yes.
Which when we're pulling trailers once again through the mountains and steep grades, that 570 pound-feet of torque, you feel it.
Exactly. And this engine bay may not be the most neat or the most beautiful engine bay, but that, I don't know if that matters.
There's a lot of high voltage cables, wires, tubes, hoses, and things. Yes. I wouldn't want to be the person to have to work on this because there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. It's a 3.5 liter. This particular one is from a 2025 model year. So the 2026s haven't really hit production or dealerships yet. There might be already being produced, but they're not available quite yet. So the power ratings we're talking about 2025.
Yeah, and it's a substantial amount of power driving this truck around. It's quick. If you want to get out in front of traffic, you 100% can with very little effort.
Exactly. It's almost electric in its power delivery. I mean, it does have electric assist.
Yeah.
But I mean like a Hummer EV.
Yeah.
Punches you.
It's impressive. And this truck has a 373 axle ratio. So it's the second most aggressive of the trucks that are here.
Yeah.
Which also helps it as far as acceleration is concerned.
And then before we move on, as far as some of the other features, mentioning the other engines available. So there's a 2.7 EcoBoost V6.
Yep.
That's basically now the base engine in this lineup. Then there's also the Coyote, the 5-liter.
The Coyote.
Which actually we own. We have a Tremor 5-liter.
We do. It's right behind us in the barn.
It's probably in the barn.
It so, is, yeah, for sure.
And then this.
Yeah, Power Boost.
And then also, we have to mention, of course, the high output engine and the supercharged V8, which is the Raptor engines.
True.
Slightly different use case, but those engines are still available.
Yeah, which especially in the Raptor R is arguably the most impressive of any of the engines that you can get in any half-ton truck, even if you keep it stock. We were at SEMA recently and we saw one that had a 3-liter Whipple on it, and they were saying over 900 horsepower.
And this was Ford Performance folks were saying this.
Yeah, so that would be like a through the dealership
installation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. But even if you get a standard Coyote, you can work through your dealership to get a supercharger on that. So you can go pretty crazy with these powertrains.
Yeah.
But once, as they roll out of the factory, this power boost is one of the most impressive.
Yeah, and there's many ways in which it's impressive. Because it's a hybrid, it also delivers a lot of... it's not locking?
No, I gotta slam it.
There you go. Oh, it's aluminum, that's why.
Right.
You gotta give it a little bit more
heft. Room.
Power delivery, power export. Because it's a hybrid, you have... Ian, you could show it here. You have up to 7.2 gigawatts. No, kilowatts. Sorry, I'm showing that I am a dad.
It's
7.2 kilowatt export.
One of the biggest upsides of this truck, also the Lightning, is that you can run as much as a welder on it, which we've done in the past. We've actually welded using a power boost. So that is a really nice feature to have, leveraging the electric side of that hybrid powertrain to be able to make the truck better at doing work. Once again, tie downs, still not as good as a GM truck. There's four old school tie downs, and then we've got those.
Yeah, this is kind
of
a Ford way of doing it, because right now it's a tie down, but you could also put a cleat on here and have some more options.
So it's kind of technically two tie downs in each corner of different styles, but still, not as much as the GM. Should we see if your ladder fits?
Yeah, can we close this tailgate? Let's see.
Oh!
What do you think? A tiny bit closer than Ram?
Yeah. It's definitely closer
but it's not
to closing.
Close. It's
but
not,
no,
not
and
closer.
We don't want to force it. We don't want to break Andre's ladder.
Or this beautiful truck. No, let's take this out because I want to show something. There's a step actually below this bumper.
Yeah.
So let me grab this. Do you want to close the tailgate?
Yeah, we can close the tailgate. I thought you were talking about the step that's built into the tailgate, but no, it's true. There is this step as well, which I'm now realizing I haven't actually practiced deploying. It kind of takes some effort.
Yeah, it's like spring-loaded, right?
Yeah.
So this was interesting. I haven't seen a use of this type of step because originally this came out when they introduced a new tailgate, which splits in the middle. So they do have another version, which kind of does like 20-40-20. I think I said it correctly.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Where it opens this way, like a barn door, and then you could step in, right? But this tail bumper step, I think could be useful if you have like a trailer back here, and maybe like if you had a boat behind here, maybe you can get into the trailer.
Sure.
Or maybe you can jump in the bed.
There's gotta be a situation where it would be useful.
Yeah, you gotta kick it.
Take some effort. Payload on the Ford is also right around 1500. It's a little less than the Chevy. So it's the Chevy or the GMC rather was 1494. This one?
1430. Which is a little bit lower than I expected because this is an all aluminum body and bed.
True.
But this is also a hybrid, which adds weight to the overall system, right?
Yeah, and then towing figure on this is also right around 11,000.
Yeah, I think the way it's configured, it's about 10.8, so 10,800. And then with a special towing package with the tow mirror, it's about 11,200 or something like that.
Yeah, so right in line with a lot of the other trucks that are here.
Yeah, and you could see those hookup points for the hitch and the chains is a little bit hidden underneath.
Yeah, they're a little further of a reach.
But not my favorite, maybe.
No, I agree. Yeah, but they're not too
bad. And also
the
attitude of this truck, and I've said this before, you've heard me say this, is that unladen, the rear end is higher than the front, but it's actually helpful when you put the full payload on this truck.
That's true. Yeah. When you're hooked up to a heavy trailer, as we have with this and with some of the others here, it levels out so it doesn't look like the back end of the truck is completely dumped. And the other nice thing about that is that your hitch receiver isn't quite as close to the ground.
Yes.
So you're less likely to scrape your hitch, especially if you have a drop hitch.
Yeah.
That hangs down a little bit.
Exactly.
The GMC was the same way. With really heavy trailers, the Ram and the Tundra squatted more.
And I think it's a difference between the Ford, GM are using leaves in the back.
Yeah.
Leaf springs, and then the Ram and the Tundra are using coils. So a lot of people are always, traditional truck people, hating coils. I don't think people should hate coil suspensions, but there's that sag. You know, they sag a little bit more.
Now, this truck is not the only one here that is this way. But I will say, because this, I'll mention it now since it won't be in the Ike video, when I was bringing the trailer that we were Iking with back here to the ranch, which was pretty heavy, we were right around 10,000 pounds.
Plus the tongue weight was just over like 1,000 pounds, right?
Yeah, so we had a lot of tongue weight. So this truck was sitting much lower than it is right now in the back. Like we said, it looked kind of level.
Yes.
But the headlights were pointing right up into the sky.
Really?
And I didn't have a way to level them out, so I had people flashing their high beams at me, understandably, because these are bright LED headlights.
And you were not using high beams?
No, I wasn't. Yeah. I was using low beams, but because the back end of the truck was so much lower than where it sits normally, the headlights were shooting into the sky, and there was really nothing I could do about it.
Nothing. But I think there may be some other options. I think most of these trucks have different headlamp options, so you potentially could configure this Ford with an auto-adjustable
Which would be nice, being able to level out those headlights, because it was not great. I didn't really want to.
Well, you kind of felt bad. I mean, you're blinding some other people while you're, you know, trying to be a good citizen, basically.
Because I could see it. It was shining right in everyone's eyes.
Let's go check out the back. I mean, and also inside.
Well, yeah. We'll start with the front.
Check out.
The interior on the Ford.
Yes.
Is a little bit fancier than the Ram.
But it's also kind of gray on gray on gray.
It is.
A little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't look that exciting, but it is a slightly nicer spec. It's still cloth seats.
Yeah.
But I would say it's not quite as basic. This truck is also a little more expensive. It's $69,600.
So it's about $5,000 more than that Ram.
Yep, okay. It is. Still quite a bit less expensive than how the GMC is spec'd as we see
it. Sure.
But I agree, in a lot of ways, this interior isn't super fancy, the color scheme and some of the materials, but there's a few things it has going for it. We've got the massive sunroof that stretches all the way into the back seat. That's kind of a nice feature to have. We've also got Bang & Olufsen audio.
So a little bit more premium stereo rather than kind of a basic setup.
Yeah, and a pretty nice stereo system at that. It sounds good.
You tested it out yesterday.
I have.
Or the day before.
Playing some reggae and all kind of stuff.
Nice.
The bass is good. Yeah, it sounds decent, especially for a truck stereo.
Nice. And the seating position, I like these seats, you know, quite a lot. We'll check out the back in a second. Wrapped steering wheel. So this is what I was saying when... Oh, there's also the STX. So there's XL, STX, XLT, and of course Lariat and others for trim levels of Ford. They've kind of, in my mind, moved the XLT more into a luxurious space, even though these cloth seats.
Yeah.
It has Blue Cruise.
Yeah, it has Blue Cruise. It's got heated seats. It's got auto climate.
Wireless charging also.
Yeah, wireless charging. Still big screen in the center. It's got the Pro Trailer backup assist. The Ram also has a similar...
Had it.
Similar option, but maybe not quite as many features because this truck can also automatically hitch up a trailer for you. It can get...
Line up,
Your hitch underneath the tongue of the trailer that you're linking up to, which is cool. The trailer brake controller is exactly where you would expect
Very
it to be.
Very accessible,
Yeah, easy to get to. And the shifter on this truck is...
Column.
It's a column-mounted shifter, and I like that. I want to love it in this truck, but I've spent some time with this particular one. I'm not sure that this is true of every F-150.
Yes.
But in this truck, a couple times, I've been moving the column shifter up to park and it stops at reverse and doesn't want to go beyond. It's not every time, but every now and then it stops there, doesn't want to go into park.
So you kind of have to like jiggle it a tiny bit.
Yeah, and it's a little frustrating. This truck's got a rear locker though.
It's kind of nice. Selectable too.
Yeah, which is cool. Yeah. It's not even an off-road trim, but.
Yeah, Ford has done this for a while where they offer a locking differential on a variety of different trim levels and price ranges. I want to make a comment about the shifter before we move on. The GMC console mounted shifter also has a kind of a digital feeling to it because it is kind of digital, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's not like a true mechanical connection between the shifter and actually what's happening within the transmission. There is a computer interpreting your selections and what you want to do. And also these trucks are, let me see if I can demonstrate it. I put it in drive and I opened it and there's a feature that puts it in park.
Yeah.
When I open my door, because it wants to prevent the truck from rolling away.
Yeah.
But I think you and I agree. We are, as humans, we are aware of what we're doing.
Yeah, we pay attention.
So we don't, I think you and I agree on this. We don't want the computer try to use its intelligence to override our intelligence.
Because our intelligence is far superior.
I would say so.
Than the trucks. I agree. I like that. I like where your head's at.
Okay.
Something else that's nice.
Oh, there's here a fuse
on the Ford. Is we've got a pretty substantial 120 outlet here up front.
Yeah.
This truck also has a wireless charger, also has a USB-A and a USB-C.
Exactly.
So we've got a few good options.
I want to compliment this truck on the position of this plug.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to, you know, dig down in the console or open the console. It's very easy to locate and plug in.
And I want to see as well if there's anything additional.
Oh, there's USB-Cs in there too.
Console, yeah. So right there. Actually, it's going to be hard to see, but there's two USB-Cs in the console. So we've got three USB-Cs, one USB-A, and then this big 120 up on the front of the dash.
Yeah.
We've got some in the back as well.
Yeah, I can check it out. But before I go in the back seat, this also has this cool feature, which opens
the table.
Up. Sorry, I think I put my laptop here. I don't think it was me. So we were waiting. We were doing our towing test, and we had a little bit of time. And I actually did some emails here.
Yeah.
It was really easy. I mean, this is a really useful feature. I put my laptop in the center. The center console opens up into a table. And I really found this really, truly useful.
Yeah, so that is kind of a neat little feature, an inventive way to use the space.
Okay, let me check out the back seat.
Yeah, it's really time quick. For Andre to get back there, because really, Andre is the ideal test of a back seat, because you're about 6'3"?
Yeah, almost there. I'm trying to still grow, but it's not working.
Right.
So back here, I do have an option for a wall outlet, 120 volt, USB-Cs, and even a 12 volt. Dude!
Yeah, so
all
tons
kinds of
power.
Options. Yes. Very similar space and I think seat as in the Ram. So I feel about the same and I feel pretty good.
Yeah. How does it feel on headroom?
It's a little bit lower. I think it's because of the panoramic sunroof. So if I would spec out the truck, I think the panoramic roof would not be on my list. You know, I mean, if I wanted a convertible car, I would get a convertible car.
Sure. Yeah.
Not a truck.
It does make it feel very premium on the interior, having all that glass above you,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it feel very modern, but it costs you money and it's not strictly necessary.
And it also adds weight,
yeah.
right? If you are if you want to, you know, maybe use a little bit more payload, this is what, 100 or 200 pounds of mechanism and glass and everything like that. So, and it's also very high up, so your center of gravity starts to grow a little bit.
And we love low center of gravity.
Well, for carving those canyon roads.
When you're hooked up to a trailer.
And
Andre does.
Well.
Andre can corner with a trailer. With the best
of
them.
We've done it before.
At times we've had to.
Let's go check out the Tundra and then we have to pick our favorite, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now the Tundra is once again, it's gray. We don't have a lot of color in the lineup.
But that's typical in the world, right? So if you look at configurators, if you look at dealership lots, color seems to be going away, which is sad, in my opinion.
It's a lot of gray and white and black and silver trucks.
Yes.
This is kind of right in line with that. There's not a whole lot of chrome on this truck, a little bit on the badges. And then I would describe the grill as kind of a black chrome.
Yes, a little bit blacked out, but also humongous. This grill, the mouth that's opening here is huge.
Yeah, and the front bumper also sits a little bit on the low side. Most of these trucks, because they're not off-road trims, they have kind of a lip, a chin, an air dam at the bottom of the bumper.
And most of these, except the GMC, have active aero, which means the chin spoiler actually extends at speed, which is a pretty fancy, like, Formula One type feature.
Yeah, right? It's maybe simplified a little bit on these. It's not quite the DRS enabled, right?
Yes.
But the Tundra has a distinct front end.
Yeah, maybe not my favorite. You picked the GMC front end, right?
Yeah.
For your favorite?
Yeah, I stand by that. Some trims of the F-150, like our Tremor, I really like the orange accents.
But you and I are kind of not chrome guys.
The dad spec on this one in particular, I don't like quite as much as the GMC, but I maybe like our company-owned Tremor looks-wise even more than that.
Yeah, I think if we painted this bumper, I would pick it over the GMC maybe.
Yeah, I could see that. For me, it's borderline. I think the GMC is a good-looking truck, but the right spec on an F-150 might be my number one.
I want to point out this Ram 1500 we have is not equipped with front tow points.
Yep.
You could kind of see it here. It would be in this space. It's not equipped. And I think, really, if you're buying any 4x4 pickup, I think include the front tow points.
Even if you're not off-roading consistently, it's still
Ford has it.
Because it's possible for these trucks to get stuck, and a recovery point is nice. Or maybe for other people to get stuck.
Yeah, you want to help somebody else. Toyota did not put front tow points on the Tundra.
Yeah, so the GM and the Ford have them. The Ram, as it's spec, doesn't. And the Toyota doesn't.
Yeah,
either.
And this is, by the way, platinum trim level. So they have many, of course, SR, SR5, TRD off-road. This is a platinum trim level. And maybe this is not my favorite trim level. One of my favorites in the fancier Tundra is their,
I would call it
1794 Cowboy Edition.
I saw 1794 on my way to the ranch.
Ah.
And it looked pretty good.
Yeah, we'll talk about the interior later. Let's look at the power choices. Let's look at the engine really quick.
So like the F-150, this particular Tundra is also a hybrid. This is the iForce Max.
Yes.
So it's got the most power and torque of the four. 437 horsepower, 583 pound-feet of torque.
Exactly. This engine is also quite busy with different things, but it's dressed up a little bit with this plastic cover, so it looks a little bit more attractive, maybe.
Yeah, there's still some of the high voltage cables, things like that going on. This also has a 10-speed, and this is a 331 axle ratio, so a little bit on the less aggressive side.
And look at this, it has a dipstick still.
Yeah, which is not a guarantee in this day and age.
No.
Modern cars.
The Ram, the Hurricane, got rid of the dipstick, and there was a big controversy about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about it. At first, I was okay with it, but then also checking the oil, like, you could see the color of it, right? You could smell it. And if you don't have a dipstick, you really can't. I mean, I guess you can open the filler and start smelling your engine.
Sniff in there.
Yeah. By the way,
your face in there.
This Tundra has the lowest opening hood.
Yeah, we were joking that they figure, since Tundras are so solid historically, you won't have to open this hood and do anything.
Yeah.
But then again, the non-hybrid versions of this V6
have been recalled.
Is another one of those engines that have been widely being replaced.
And they're actually replacing those engines. Not just fixing something. But the hybrid is not part of that recall. So we have to be very precise when we talk about this stuff.
That's true.
Which is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So
So they also have the non-hybrid versions, by the way. So standard 3.4 liter twin turbo is available. And also, I believe on the work spec, the SR Tundras, they have a slightly lower power rating. So they have several
slightly
different...
detuned.
Yeah, detuned version of that, which they kind of change up on their trucks.
Yes, and coming alongside of the truck...
Payload, we need to check that really quick.
Tons to
this
look
is
at.
This 1290. One...
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. So it's the least amount of payload of any of the trucks that are here.
And also surprisingly, it's lower than that GMC, which is also fully loaded.
Yeah, so when we were testing this truck on the Ike, we were at or a little above payload.
Whoa, it retracted its step for me.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So automatically the step that's below the corner of the bumper popped out when Andre lowered the tailgate.
I'm going to move my ladder again.
Yeah, let's see how the ladder does.
By the way, this is also a composite bed inside.
Yeah, so similar in that way to the GMC.
Ooh, this doesn't look very good.
No, I don't think it's going to work. So, wow. So GMC is the only one that was able to close tailgate.
Uh-oh. It's a power...
yeah.
What do I do now?
I think we got to do it by hand. Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, it's not closing. So, of course, the Tundra also has like an eight-foot bed version for certain configurations. The other thing that's it's kind of hard to see, the walls of the bed are a little bit narrower at the bottom than the top.
Yeah, right? So it's kind of tapered.
It's tapered side. So I think it's done because these are molds that are stamping these beds out. So it's kind of the manufacturing of it. And how much power do you have in the wall there?
Saying 400 watts.
Okay.
Which, again, is nowhere near what the Ford can do.
Yeah.
So it would have been cool if they leveraged this hybrid system a little bit more like the Ford did.
So their latest Tacoma hybrids have 2.4 kilowatt systems.
Which is getting there.
But still, I mean, Ford has 7.2, so.
7.2 is a lot.
It is an option. You have to pay for that. But still, it's available.
And as tie-downs go in the Tundra, it's kind of similar to the Ford and how the Ram can be. So there's four tie-downs, one in each corner, plus these rails where you can move these little cleats back and forth.
Yep.
So, yeah, still not my favorite tie-down setup, but it's not bad.
All right, let me move the, so we can show the hitch really quick. And this is able to pull about 11,000 as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, most of them are right in line with each other to close the tailgate. I can press on the side of the taillight, although I think since we were moving it manually, it's not very happy.
Oh, let's reset it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's reset it.
A little painful, isn't it?
Is it gonna come back to us? Yes.
So I wonder, will it bring the step in on its own?
Yes, but I think this has like a 5-second delay.
Oh, does it? Let's find out.
So
it would be kind of cool if automatically.
This is riveting television, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, now
this is pretty accessible.
Yeah. Those points
for the
side of the hitch are
very
really
easy to reach.
Not bad at all. So I kind of like that.
But you know what's not my favorite? A lot of these components are plastic.
On the bumpers, yeah.
Yeah, and on the Tundra. A lot of the other... can you knock on that?
That's on the Ford.
Are metal, right?
Yeah.
So there's good and bad in this, right? If you hit a metal bumper, it might dent. But it will be more expensive to replace.
But paint on a composite bumper is also pretty expensive.
Also pretty bad. So inside of the GM bumper, there is also the radar sometimes and some sensors.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of tell exactly. I mean, there's plastic on top. But on the Tundra, when you hit something, it's a plastic, so it's easily breakable, right?
Yeah, which we've experienced.
Before. Yeah. We've experienced that before.
Yeah. Now, should we check out the interior on this Tundra?
Let's do this.
So this one, once again, is a Platinum. So it's far from a base model. This is the second priciest truck that we're looking at here. This one's around $76,000.
Yeah, we have a little sheet, cheat sheet here.
Yeah, so we can see the exact number.
A little cheat sheet.
76,278, so 76,300.
Okay. Well, this is one of the fancier Tundras you could buy.
Yeah, so it being a Platinum, it's got some more features, nicer materials, although once again, this interior is mostly very dark. There's not tons of color. It's a little bit of blue stitching.
Yeah, blue stitching here as well.
But not much else.
Yeah, I think as far as overall impact, GMC Sierra Denali had the impact, you know, immediate. I know it's more expensive, but it had that going for it.
It's very clearly a luxury interior in that. This one, not as obvious.
But they do a great job with their 1794 editions. You know, if you wanted to buy a Tundra with a fancier interior, you could do that still.
I agree. This does, once again, have, like the Ford, a very big glass sunroof that goes all the way into the back row, which, still looks kind of nice.
Large screen. A lot of hard switches and buttons, which we like.
Yeah. Heated and ventilated seats.
This will help you straighten out the trailer when you're backing up. So it does have some towing technology as well. Brake controller is here.
Yeah, it's a little hidden for the driver behind the steering wheel.
Like if you're looking at it from my perspective, I'm in the driver's seat, I have to look over or I have to feel for it. So maybe not the most ideal place.
Yeah, and then this one, kind of like the GMC, has a more old-school console-mounted shifter. That one feels more mechanical, though.
Yeah, this actually feels like it's doing something and moving some mechanical levers.
Yeah, so that's not
nice.
Bad.
Yeah. We're not digging into the technology of this, although I will say it's not my favorite as far as, like, the trip meter and the towing trailer setup.
Yeah, it's maybe not the most intuitive package and screen layout.
Of all the manufacturers.
Of all the trucks.
If I want to really configure the trailers, I think GM and Ford do it best. And then Ram is very, very close. And then Toyota as far as... Let's look at some storage options here.
Yeah, a decent size console with coin slots still.
Wow.
That's old school.
I haven't carried the coin in a while.
For power, this one is not quite as extensive. We've got a USB-A and a USB-C in the console, and then we've got another USB-A, kind of old school, on the dash.
Is there a 120 volt? Do you see anything?
No.
We have cup holders here.
I'm seeing there is a wireless charger.
Yes.
But not a whole lot else.
Yeah, we'll check out in the back. Let me get in the back seat. And by the way, Toyota is not offering a hands-free drive system in their trucks. I mean, I think some of the Lexus vehicles, they're starting to roll out some of these technologies.
Yeah.
But on their pickup truck side, the hands-free system is not available yet.
Yeah. So it's a little more basic.
Let me get in the back seat. I wanna check it out really quick.
Oh.
I'll say another thing, Case. The underneath the rear seat in the Tundra Hybrid is basically a battery.
Yeah, exactly. They're using that space for part of the hybrid system, so no storage.
But even in the Ford, it has some storage in the hybrid underneath the seat.
Something I am noticing about you jumping in the back seat. You got the peasant blockers.
Well, that's not what I usually call them.
It's not a technical term.
Shades.
Yeah, sure.
I'm calling it a shade on the side, which is, I think this is the only pickup truck that has a side shade.
A peasant blocker?
Well, yeah. Let's just say it's for children when they're sleeping in the back seat. You could block out the sun.
Well, sometimes children don't want to be bothered by peasants.
Right, exactly. My headroom... Dude, you scared me. But I own an older generation Tundra, which has a rear lowered glass. And you just lowered the rear glass, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, so that is one of the coolest things about this cab. You can really open it up because the entire rear glass slides down into the bulkhead. Kind of an expensive thing to do.
I've used this a lot backing up to a boat launch ramp. You could look back, you could see...
the people, you know, or the boat moving up.
And you can just get all kinds of airflow through this cab, yes. So that's really cool.
My headroom is a tiny bit more limited. There's a little bit of a cutout.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit more limited than some other trucks.
It's scalloped, but if you lean forward too quickly, you might give yourself a concussion.
No, it's not a concussion, but it's at least a scalping.
That sounds much better. Yeah.
Oh, there's a 400-watt outlet here. So thank you, Toyota. This is quite useful. USB-A, USB-C. Dude, ventilated rear seats.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's impressive. I think Ram also offers heating and ventilation on their rear seats. And cup holders are very nice. So maybe not the humongous, the biggest back seat of them all.
Humongous, I like.
Humongous.
The most humongous. Otherwise described as humongous. Yeah. Once again, these trucks are all spec'd differently. So some of the features that one has and another doesn't, the other might be able to option with it. But I just, my biggest thing is I wish on this interior, this being a little bit more premium and being over $76,000, if the interior had some more color, that would make it feel more premium.
And maybe not just color, because some people are shy about using different colors,
but
more textures, more contrast. I think that's what we mean. But I mean, I do like the blue because that signifies hybrid for them. And I kind of like that theme.
But it's pretty subtle.
But more contrast. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, all right, dude, let's get outside and we need to try to pick our favorite based on this.
I know. It's going to be tough. We've done a lot of testing with these trucks, and once again, we don't want to go into too much detail on all that because there's got to be a reason for people to watch the video where we actually summarize.
Yeah, and pick the truck of the year. So we're not picking truck of the year right now.
No.
We're picking a truck that could be our favorite best based on the features we just saw and based on some of the specs we just looked at. I am kind of between these two trucks. My decision is between the F-150 and the Ram.
Okay.
I like the GMC a lot, but personally speaking, for me, it's just too fancy. I would not, I appreciate the Denali Ultimate, but I'm not gonna run out and buy one. You know what I'm saying?
I am a very fancy guy. And so, just based on the interior, the colors, and not just the materials on the interior. I like the materials and the design a lot.
Yeah. Well, you picked the styling of this truck too.
Yes, I like the styling on the GMC. I like the screen layouts, the whole interior layout. Once again, not just the materials and the colors and everything that you pay a bunch of money for, but the whole way that the dash on this truck is laid out. There's a lot of things I like about the GMC.
Could it be?
I like V8s.
Could it be the sound?
Yeah. Although, that being said, if I was picking out one of these trucks, I would probably go for the 3-liter Duramax.
Whoa, that's a hot take.
So I love the fact that there's a diesel option on this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the GMC.
Okay, I see. I gotcha. And if you want to hear a lot of these engines, we have the video. We have the drag race coming.
We do.
And this does have a burble, which
sounds good.
Once again, a deep voice. I appreciate that. I see why you would pick a Duramax.
What are you going for?
Well, like I said, I like the Hurricane power delivery and a lot of the features, including efficiency on some of the versions of the Hurricane. I think I'm going to pick the F-150 Hybrid.
Probably smart.
Oh, partially.
It's got Pro Power on board.
Yes, I mean,
it's got a pretty good payload.
You mentioned, you know, David and I, there's a gate way back in the field that we had to weld on, and we used the F-150 Hybrid to weld on it. And I'm not a welder, but the fact is, sometimes we buy trucks for the features that are available.
And if you had a power boost, you could become a welder.
I could learn, I can go to school, I can buy, you know, a welder, I could plug it in, I could start welding. But more than that, I like the efficiency that this offers, I like the power that it offers. So I like a lot of the features inside.
Does that mean it's true what people say?
What?
About you?
What?
That
Ford fanboy?
Yeah, as a Toyota Tundra owner, what people say about you?
They might say that. But like you and I, we try to experience a lot of trucks, right? You've owned Dodge Ram.
Try and succeed at least through work. We get to drive a lot of stuff.
Yes. You're an owner of a Dodge Ram. I'm an owner of a Tundra.
It's over there somewhere.
I also own the Chevy, actually a couple of different Chevys. And I own the Tundra now. But I think as far as the powertrain choice, efficiency and power and comfort, but
I get it.
But my ladder doesn't fit.
Your ladder does not fit. It does fit in the GMC. And the GMC's got good tie downs.
Okay.
Yeah. No. We have to.
Damn.
When we pick an official truck of the year, we're going to have to use more stats from the tests that we're doing. And I think we're going to have to come to a consensus.
Because if we are disagreeing,
yeah,
it's not going to work.
So when you come back in a couple weeks and see us pick truck of the year, it might be a different answer. Because that one is not just going to be going with our hearts.
No, it's our brains. A lot of brain power.
With numbers. Yeah, brain power. All the cool science-y stuff that everyone's into, right?
Yeah, because we got to look at the efficiency numbers. We got to look at how they performed, you know, the braking, the acceleration on the mountain. We got to look at their performance, speed. That's going to be different.
Yeah, and it's worth tuning into because we smoked the brakes on a couple of these trucks. We put them really to the test.
No fire, nothing caught fire.
No, nothing.
But we saw smoke.
We saw smoke. We did. We hit the top speed of each one of these trucks. We put them through their paces.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of fun testing that you're going to be able to check out in those videos coming up.
Thanks for joining us. Check out oldtfl.com. I know this podcast was a little bit longer than a normal podcast.
But there was a lot to see.
But this was epic.
I
hope you agree. This was one of our more epic episodes.
Epic is
TFL.
It's a big word.
The epicest.
The epicest. We got four whole trucks, so it was good.
We had the humongousest and epicest.
Have we done a podcast with the three HDs?
All three HDs together?
That would be nice.
No.
Okay, so maybe.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. You know what? Heavy duty trucks could be updated next year.
Yeah.
Because there's a rumor of a new Duramax. There's a rumor about, you know, Super Duty updates. So that's coming. That could be coming soon.
Next year is going to be a big year.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.